Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, Romans chapter 8. We'll also be touching on Luke chapter 11, where our Lord hands on to his disciples the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may call out to you as your dearly loved children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My oldest child, my son Oscar, just had his 21st birthday. And I can remember clearly to the day that he was born. It was a Sunday evening at Box Hill in Melbourne, Victoria. As it happens, we have one of the members of Box Hill congregation here today, Marlene Peach. She was one of the first people to see Oscar when he was born. Now, my wife, Margaret, had a protracted labour. She was induced on Friday. Oscar was born on Sunday evening, a very wearying experience. And yet when little Oscar was born, it was a time of great joy for us as a family. He took in his first breath and he let out a cry. And I can remember clearly him looking out onto the world with great wonder. How could this little fellow be alive and looking and taking in this new life that God had given him, that God had given us too, of course. Now, even if you've never been present at the birth of a baby, I'm sure that you can appreciate some of the wonder of new birth. And today I'm suggesting that thinking about new birth in this world can help us understand at a deeper level what God's word is saying to us from Romans today. Let's listen to the last verses from today's Romans reading. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's first of all pause on this word Spirit. In English, as in the biblical languages, Greek and Hebrew, the word Spirit also means breath. So, for example, in our own language, in English, if we say someone has given up the Spirit, we mean they have stopped breathing. Now, we live by taking in breath from the outside. We can't generate our own breath. We see this clearly in birth. We take in breath and we let it go until finally we end up giving our spirit back to God. This is how it is for us as human beings, and it gives us a clue to what it's like to be living by the Spirit with God. Just also like when we are born, one of the first things we do is to use our breath to cry because we don't have any understanding of how to speak. We have no words to use. Likewise, as God's people, by the Spirit, we cry even when we don't understand to God, who does understand. I was at a mums and kids group in this congregation in the last week, and one of the toddlers there cried. And the mother who heard the cry said, oh, that's not that sort of cry, because parents know very well how their children cry and what it means. The kids don't yet have words, but they have breath, and they can give out a cry. But when a child gives a cry and the parent understands, knows the meaning, when the child gives it a cry of desperation, the parent gets up and comes and comforts and protects and reassures. Parents understand instinctively the meaning of the wordless cry of their children. Listen again to these words from Romans. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Like newborn children, we are all spiritually, naturally weak and helpless. And just as little children simply rely on their parents to understand the meaning of their breath-given cry, we too rely on God, who gives us spirit, the Spirit, which leads us to groan and sigh without words. The Spirit that comes to us through means, from without, through the gift of baptism, through the gift of the Lord's Supper, through the Word of God as it's proclaimed. This Spirit that we receive from without leads us to groan and sigh inwardly. And even with words which we don't yet have, our God understands us and comes to give us comfort and protection in our need. That's the first thing I want to talk about from today's Romans reading. This imagery of breath and cry and the understanding of our Heavenly Father who gives us freely His Spirit. But today, for the second half of this sermon, I want to touch on Luke chapter 11, where Jesus gives on us teaching on how to pray, where He has words for us so that we can move from sighs and groans to speaking directly to our Father in heaven, words that are Spirit-filled and that we use in our life together as God's people. This teaching comes again from Luke chapter 11. It's part of the gospel where Jesus hands on to His disciples His own prayer, the Lord's Prayer. This is how that part of the gospel starts. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught His disciples." When we're little kids, toddlers, we can't yet speak, and yet we live our lives observing others and listening to them. We watch them and we copy what they do. We listen to them and we copy their words. This is naturally how we learn as human beings. Our deepest level of schooling, you could say, simply happens as we imitate those whom God brings into our lives. Now, Jesus' disciples see Him praying, and they want to copy what He does, and they want to copy what He says, to use the words that He gives. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus does not give them a method of praying or even a bodily posture to adopt in prayer. Bodily posture was important in prayer for Jesus and His disciples. The Gospels in the book of Acts makes this very clear. But it's not the prime thing that Jesus wants to hand on. Instead, He gives His disciples words to pray. Now, being given actual words to use and then to take them into our own mouths and speak them back, it's a very human thing, isn't it? It's how we learn also in the church. Our Lord is giving us words to pray. And the first thing that He teaches us in His prayer is to call God Father. Why here in this congregation do we call God Father? The simple reason is that Jesus taught us to pray this way. This is the address form that our Lord has given us. And in Romans chapter 8, the same chapter where our reading comes from today, St. Paul says it's only by that Holy Spirit that we are proclaiming today that we are free to call out to God as Abba, Father, Papa. You know, whenever there's a baptism also in this congregation, we hand on this way of praying to the baptismal candidates. We will see it today in this service. And you, congregation members, will take part in it. Pastor Joshua today will be primarily handing on the Lord's Prayer to the candidates, but we together as a church will be handing on these words. If ever, by the way, sometimes you wonder why in the congregation we pray the Lord's Prayer twice on certain services, here's a good clue for you. The first time at a baptism, we're handing it on. That's primarily what we're doing, just as Jesus taught his disciples. The second time, we together, as the one family of God, pray to our Father in heaven. Now, of course, Jesus knew that earthly fathers were far from perfect. Even the best ones fall far below the mark of God's true fatherhood. And so in case we think that Jesus is encouraging us to take our own experiences of human fatherhood and project them onto some sort of divine stage, to project them onto the living God, Jesus immediately gives us a way of thinking that opens us to understand the generosity of God and what true fatherhood means. Listen to what Jesus says first of all. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." These are the words which our Lord Jesus gives after handing on the Lord's Prayer, this great universal promise given to us by our Master. Everyone who asks receives from God. Everyone who searches will find God. And when people knock on God's door, he will open it up to them. Then Jesus gives us these words. "Is there anyone among you," literally translated from the Greek, "what father among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is here speaking to his disciples, and he calls them evil. Even his disciples, in comparison to the true Father, are evil. Jesus is talking about true fatherhood here, God's fatherhood. What Jesus is saying is that even if human fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, who is not evil but truly good, give the truly good gift to his children, nothing less than the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who enlivens us in the life of faith through the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit who comes to us outwardly through means, even simple means like baptism and the Lord's Supper, who frees us to call out to God as Father, expecting to receive good things from God. We live with so much fear in our hearts. Weighed down by guilt, we think God will will to give us nothing good, but only condemnation. But Jesus Christ reveals to us the great love of God and the good news that God proclaims through him to us, leads us to call out to our Father, "Give us, Father, the Holy Spirit, so that we may not fear you, but grow in love of you. So we may experience that you are generous and therefore be generous with one another. So that we may experience that you forgive freely. So that we may forgive our brothers and sisters from our heart." Jesus nowhere promises that if we ask to win lotto, God will give us the winning numbers. Nothing like it. But he does promise that those who seek will find, those who ask, they'll receive. Those who knock, the door will be opened to them by God. That the Father wills to give the Holy Spirit. So here we are together as God's people today on this Pentecost Sunday. We have the encouragement of our Lord Jesus to take in the breath of God and to live by faith and to have a holiness of life that comes not by our decision, by human strength, by what we can achieve, but by what God creates among us and sustains among us by his saving word. Well, may God always give us the Holy Spirit so that we walk together in the path of faith and rejoice in the good gifts that he gives. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.